Praise be to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of our Master Muhammad and protect his Muslim nation from that which he fears for them. I ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to grant us the sincere intentions. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returned to his house and asked Khadija to cover him, and she did. Then he told Khadija what had happened and that he feared that he would get sick from the heaviness of the revelation. Khadija answered, "No, do not worry. This is good news." She confirmed that by saying, "You are kind to your kin, and you tell the truth. You help the needy and give him more than he expects. You are generous to your guest and help others with their misfortunes." Then Khadija took Prophet Muhammad to her cousin, Waraqa ibn Nawfal, who was a Christian at the time. He used to copy from the Injil of that time, before he became old and blind. Prophet Muhammad described to him what had happened. Waraqah said that this was the same angel who came to Prophet Moses. Then he added, "I wish I was a young man and alive when your people make you leave your city." The Prophet asked, "Will they do that?" Waraqah said, "Yes, no man before you who came with what you brought, except that he was shown enmity. If I live until then, I will support you strongly." However, Waraqa died a short time later. The revelation stopped coming for a while. Later, Angel Jibril came to the Prophet, who was then under a cover. Then Angel Jibril revealed the first verses of Surah Al-Muddathir, what means, "O Muhammad, who is under the cover, stand up and warn the people against the torture of Allah. Say Allahu Akbar, God is great. Clean your clothes from any najasa, filth, and avoid associating partners with Allah." The Quran continued to be revealed to the Prophet throughout 23 years. Every year, Angel Jibril reviewed the Quran with Prophet Muhammad in Ramadan. However, the Ramadan before the Prophet died, it was reviewed twice. The last verse revealed to the Prophet was verse 281 of Al-Baqarah, which means, "Fear a day when you would return to Allah, and every soul would find what it earned without any injustice." The first converts. After receiving revelation and becoming the messenger of Allah, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately started to call people to Islam. He called the people with wisdom, following the guidance of the revelations he was receiving. The first person to believe in Prophet Muhammad was his wife Khadija bint Khuwaylid. Then Ali ibn Abi Talib believed, and later his two older brothers, Ja'far and Aqil. Some said that Ali was 10 years old at the time when he embraced Islam. Zayd ibn Haritha embraced Islam and was the first freed slave to accept the Prophet's call. The first free man to accept the Prophet's call was Abu Bakr, who was Abdullah ibn Abi Quhafa. He was a very close friend to the Prophet. Due to the invitation of Abu Bakr, Uthman ibn Affan, Az-Zubayr ibn Al-Awwam, عبد الرحمن ابن عوف, سعد ابن أبي وقاص, and طلحة ابن عبيد الله embraced Islam. Abu Bakr took them to the Messenger of Allah and they embraced Islam. Then others embraced Islam. Some were Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Abu Salamah, Uthman ibn Maz'un, Sa'id ibn Zayd, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Ammar ibn Yasir, Suhayb ibn Sinan, Abu Dharr, and Bilal the Habashi. All of these early companions have fascinating stories. Most of them were tortured by the blasphemers of Quraysh in Mecca, who did not want to believe. Stories of early companions. In this lesson, inshallah, we present pictures of several of our Prophet's early followers. The early followers have the distinction of believing the truth from our Prophet before embracing Islam became popular in the Arabian Peninsula. As well, many of them suffered severe tortures from the blasphemers, simply due to the fact that they believed our Prophet, loved Allah, and worshipped their Creator correctly. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was a young shepherd when he first met the Prophet. This was at an early time during the prophethood. He told of his meeting our Prophet and his embracing Islam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I used to tend some sheep of the family of Uqbah ibn Abi Mu'ayt, a terrible blasphemer. The Messenger of Allah came with Abu Bakr and asked, Do you have any milk? So he said he did not, and these were not his sheep. So the Prophet asked for a sheep that did not give milk. He continues to say, I brought him a sheep that did not give milk. The Prophet passed his hand on the place where the others would be, and another full of milk appeared. The animal was milked, and the milk was put in a rock container. The Prophet gave it to Abu Bakr, then to me, then he drank. Then he told the other to shrink, and it shrank as it was before. When I saw that, I said, O Messenger of Allah, teach me. He passed his hand on my head and said, May Allah bless you. You will be a knowledgeable person. One day, when we were with the Prophet on Mount Hira, the chapter of Al-Mursalat was revealed to the Prophet. I took it fresh from the mouth of the Prophet. The Prophet taught me 70 surahs man to man without any third person with us. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was a great companion. He narrated a lot of sayings of the Prophet and was very respected among the companions for his knowledge of the Quran. He lived about 20 years past the death of the Prophet and did not tire from spreading Islam even in faraway areas. Another early companion was a slave from Abyssinia named Bilal. He believed in our Prophet. His owner hated Rasulullah and tortured Bilal in order to break his belief in Allah. Bilal was taken out at noon bare-chested and was forced to lie on the burning pebbles. They then put a large stone on his chest so he could not move. Bilal never said the blasphemy which they wanted to hear. Instead, Bilal said, Ahadun Ahad, Ahadun Ahad, there is no partner to Allah, there is no partner to Allah. Our master Abu Bakr, full of compassion, bought Bilal from his owner for a high price. Then he freed him. Henceforth, Bilal accompanied our Prophet, immigrated to Medina, and had the honor of calling the believers to prayer, making adhan, along with his many other good deeds. A married couple and their son were early converts to Islam too. Their names were Yasir and Sumayyah, and their son was called Ammar ibn Yasir. The three of them were slaves of a Meccan blasphemer. Upon seeing long, merciless torture inflicted upon them by their owner, our Prophet told them, Be patient, Ala Yasir, you will meet again in paradise. The blasphemers threatened to kill Sumayyah if she did not leave Islam, but she refused to renounce her faith. They killed her. She was the first female martyr in our nation. And when Yasir received the same threat, he also refused to blaspheme and was killed. After seeing the threat was real, Ammar said blasphemous words when he was likewise threatened with death if he did not blaspheme. All the while Ammar had rejected these words in his heart. Our Prophet reassured Ammar that he had remained a believer, for he did not accept the blasphemy he had only uttered due to the real threat of death. Ammar was a noble companion who went on to live a life full of good deeds, knowing that he would be reunited in the hereafter with his brave parents, rahimahumullah. The public call. After 3 years of prophethood, fearlessly calling to and teaching people Islam with skilled tactics, Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make a public call. Allah revealed ayah 214 of Ash-Shu'ara, in which Allah ordered Prophet Muhammad to warn his relatives, calling them to Islam. Prophet Muhammad went on the top of As-Safa, a mountain in Mecca, and called the different clans by their names. They came in a hurry. The Prophet said, If I were to tell you that there was an enemy ready to attack you, would you believe me? They said, Yes. He said, I am a warner to you of a very severe torture, that is, if you do not hold the proper belief. Abu Lahab, one of the uncles of the Prophet, cursed him. He was mad, thinking that our Prophet was wasting their time and trying to destroy their lifestyle. Shortly after that incident, Allah revealed the surah called Al-Masad, in which it mentioned that both Abu Lahab and his wife will receive severe torture in hellfire. The news of this surah reached the wife of Abu Lahab, Jamil, who was a very wicked woman. When Jamil heard the surah, she came to the area of the Kaaba with the stones in her hand. She addressed Abu Bakr, threatening to harm the Prophet by saying, "I heard your friend has dispraised me, and I will show him." Abu Bakr asked her, "Do you see anyone with me?" She said, "No. Are you mocking me?" She continued to dispraise the Prophet, who was sitting next to Abu Bakr. After she left, the Messenger of Allah told his companion, "Some angels blocked her from seeing me and saved me from her evil." Once, one of the leaders of the blasphemers, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, saw the Prophet praying next to the Kaaba. He took the cloth of the Prophet and strangled the Prophet severely. Abu Bakr came and pushed him away from the Prophet and said, "Do you kill a man because he says Allah is my Lord?" One of the main leaders of the blasphemers was a man called Abu Jahl. This was the name which the Muslims gave to him, meaning the very ignorant person. When our Prophet started calling people to Islam, Abu Jahl became a big enemy to the Muslims, mocking and torturing them. Once, he ordered his people to put the stinking innards of a camel on the back of our Prophet Muhammad while he was prostrating in prayer. It was done while he and his friends mocked our Prophet. Wal'iyadhu billah. Brave little Fatima, the daughter of our Prophet, removed the filth of her father, who completed his prayer. Fatima was only about 10 years old at the time. The Prophet carried out the order of Allah to call his relatives as well as other tribes to Islam. He degraded their idols, which angered them. They all agreed to consider him as their enemy. The uncle of the Prophet, Abu Talib, protected him from the harm of Quraysh's blasphemers and others. This angered the idol worshippers of Mecca, and a group of their leaders said to Abu Talib, "Your nephew has cursed our idols and slandered our religion. Either you stop him or you give him up to us. After all, you follow the same religion that we do." Abu Talib talked to them gently and they left him. The Prophet continued with his mission, and their hatred of the Prophet increased. They went again to Abu Talib and said, "You have an age, you have a status and honor among us. We had asked you to stop your nephew, but you did not. We swear by Allah, we will not be patient with his cussing our fathers and idols. Either you stop him or we will fight him and you until one side is victorious." Abu Talib found it hard for himself to be away from his people, and his heart was neither inclined to embrace Islam nor to let the Messenger of Allah down. However, he said to the Prophet, "O nephew, your people told me so and so. Avoid getting yourself and me killed. Do not put on my shoulders that which I cannot bear." The Messenger of Allah thought that his uncle was letting him down and pulling out his support for him. He said, "O uncle, I swear by Allah, were they to put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left, to leave out calling to Islam, I would not do so until Allah would make Islam victorious, or I would die while conveying it." Then the Prophet wept. His uncle called him and said, "Come back, my nephew. Say what you like. I swear by Allah that I will not give you up." When Quraysh realized that Abu Talib was not going to give up his nephew, they increased their prosecution and torture of the Muslims under their hands. The Messenger of Allah used to address the people saying, "O people, Allah orders you to worship him and not to associate anything with him." Abu Lahab would walk behind him and say, "This man wants you to leave the religion of your fathers." The blasphemers met at their Hajj season to agree on something to say about the Prophet. Some said, "We will say he is a fortune teller." Others wanted to say he was insane, and others wanted to say that he was a magician. Others wanted to say that he was a poet. However, they all agreed that he was not any of that. Finally, they agreed to say that he brought a religion that separates between the person and his father, brother, tribe, and his wife. As a result of warning against the Prophet, he became very famous among the various Arab tribes. Thus, many of his own people were against him at that time, and yet he was trying to save them from hellfire by Allah's will. An Arab tribe at his time believed that Allah had married an elite woman of jinn and that they gave birth to angels. Of course, the truth, which our Prophet declared, was that Allah was not a man and he never took a wife. Allah has no children. Additionally, angels are neither male or female. Our Prophet was unshakable in his mission to spread the truth about Allah and his attributes. The threats of misguided people did not scare him at all. After making the public call, two brave men who were respected in Mecca became Muslim, Hamza, the Prophet's uncle, and Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar was set on killing the Prophet after the public call, yet after he read some verses of the Quran, which his Muslim sister had, he went to our Prophet and he professed his Islam to our Prophet saying, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no one or thing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam."